I'll show you some of the things. Okay, we're on the air now, and this is a learning together session. Actually, Mike is a pretty unpresuming kind of guy, Mike McKay. I guess I've kind of I didn't really know you before last week, but you were trying to join the Hangout last week, I believe, and you just said you'd like to join us this week, and got to looking at your website and. Somehow something in there clicked, and I thought, hey, why don't we, have a chat with Mike this week? And he agreed to be here, so that's why he's here. We set a time. And meanwhile, I've done a little bit of homework on Mike. I wasn't really familiar with Cypress Chat, although that's probably because I missed your presentation at the SL Languages Conference in 2011. I just listened to that presentation. Heike said that was in 2011. She said that you were the only sim that gave free English lessons. Is that correct? Or maybe that's focused on English, because I'm aware of some others that teach languages. No,
Well,
that's.
we're the only sim that offers a place to practice speaking English for free. A large organized sim. We're the only one. That's the reason I came to this hangout, really, is because I can't find another community like ours. We've been looking for years trying to figure out why this isn't happening elsewhere. It's a mystery to us all, really. So, yeah,
Well,
that's really what I want to ask you guys. What's going on out there?
Kip Bowen, Kip
Oh, we
Yellow
go
Jacket.
way back. Kip and I started with Fire Centaur at English Village. We both come from the same core.
Okay. Well, anyway, just before we start, I just want to mention the date in case anyone tunes into a podcast and wants to fix this in time. It's the 29th of September and 2013. And we're going to chat here with Mike McKay about language learning. And I'll probably find his site somewhere while he's telling us a little bit more about what he does there. We've got with us also Claire Siskin in Chandigarh, India. And we've got Dan Bassel, and Dan is in California. Chicago, sorry, Chicago. And Jose Antonio Silva, who's in Brasilia. And Mike is there in Japan. So, yeah, well, tell us a little bit, introduce us to Cypress Chat, and you
All
started
right.
talking about a moment ago.
Well, I actually found you last Sunday while I was out sitting in the park relaxing with a beer. I was on my phone and I was just sitting out in a nice evening, and I looked up Google Plus and I saw your name, and I've known you for a long time. I've been following you, Vance, and what you guys have done at Learning Times, and I've known Learning Times for many years, and I follow a lot of places, and I do a lot of things with the research of language learning and education and technology. I have a master's of education in technology, and I've been teaching English for about 15 to 20 years teaching, and I work at a university, two universities here in Japan, and I've published and presented and done all the things. But my main interest was that my students don't have enough opportunities to practice speaking English outside of the classroom. We have 90-minute classes once a week. They don't have enough chances to speak English. So I created this virtual world environment in 2007 or 8 for them to be able to come and practice speaking English in an environment that is not only for the learner but also for a teacher or a prospective teacher. Because as you may know, in Japan, all English teachers at the junior high school and high school level are required to teach English in English. And that's a huge stress for them. So they need to practice their English also. So this is just basically a park. Cypress Chat is a park in Second Life, and we have a community center there where people can volunteer their time if they'd like to. we give them the tools they need to be able to start something, like an activity time, we call them. We refer to everyone as learners, and we have no teachers. They are tutors. We are not a school. We're just a park. And nobody should expect us to be teaching English any particular way. I use Cypress as a place for me to practice new lesson plans and new ways of explaining things, for me to practice grammar, because, of course, foreigners in Japan, we don't get the chance to actually teach grammar or any of that, because that's something that the Japanese teachers do, and we usually teach speaking or writing, and it's hard for us to remember, you know, certain clauses and phrases and parts of speech and what is this, and we get, you know, influx with questions from our students, like, oh, why is this like that? And, yeah, I remember that, just a second. So this is a chance for me also to practice. And it's been going on for about, well, we're coming up to our fifth anniversary in December, and it's solely supported by donations from its members. We have no financing from or funding from anywhere. From me, nothing. I make nothing from it. I get nothing but the ability to be able to practice teaching, and they get the ability to practice speaking. Solely yeah. community-based.
And karma, of course.
Yeah.
I just put my screen here. Let's see if I can drive this. I'll come over here to drive it. If you go to learningtogether.pbworks.com and click on Next Upcoming Events, that takes you to a little website I set up for, well, I mean, it's basically something about the program. There's Professor Merriman. I mean, we have to learn a little bit more about him.
That's a little bit different, yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm, sort of an alter ego there. And there's a little Mike, very presumptuous.
Oh, you put our conversation.
Yeah, because it says,
a nice conversation.
It says what might happen. So, I mean, you know, this is not a presentation. It's just a chat with Mike.
Yeah, and, I was just wanting to chat, really.
Yeah, I put the link to Cypress chat here, and I just clicked on it, but it's not going anywhere. It's not going there. It's waiting. But anyway, there's also a Slurl there. There's Cypress chat, and there's another Slurl here to visit Cypress. I dropped in. There were a couple of people there chatting, but unfortunately, my VoIP is not working because of problems moving. I just moved, and I'm having trouble getting that computer hooked up to the network. So anyway, wasn't able to troubleshoot it, but I did go there and look around, and text chatted a little bit with some of the people there. And what else have we got? We've got a couple of videos. Let's see. Oh, there's this presentation that Mike gave at the SL Languages Conference. If I click there, it's going to make noise. And then there's also a murder mystery. I didn't look at the videos, but maybe you could tell us a little bit about that. I'm curious who got killed in Cyprus.
Yeah, well, as I said, I have my background is in education and technology. I was a web designer in San Francisco, and I moved to Japan and kind of became an English teacher once I moved here about 15 years ago. And so I've used that technology experience to develop the virtual world learning activities. And so one of the activities that I created was a murder mystery in which you wear a HUD and you go around clicking on things and you get clues. And you have to work with other people in the environment in order to solve the mystery. This environment was used utilizing, well, first I started with Sludl. And Sludl was something that I'm not sure that you're all familiar with, but Fire Centaur and I worked together very closely to develop an achievement system, and we used these leaderboards, and we had quiz chairs and all this, and we used these things together. Sludl, by the way, was not developed by me or Fire Centaur. It was another project that was developed for years before that. But we were able to use these award system and give points. And so this point system actually developed into the murder mystery kind of thinking, where when you achieve the understanding, you click on something and you get a clue, and then you're able to solve the clue. The thinking was that you would get points for what you do. That murder mystery was a basis for that. Recently, I just, this summer, I released something called a V-Learning system, and this uses Captivate and the shared media, and you have a HUD, and if you go to our website, you can see that people are receiving points for every time that they write on our website. So they receive points, and those points are used to be paid to pay for the learning activities that are in-world. So you go and you pay for a learning activity, say for example listening one, dictation one, and you get the HUD, and then you work with other people to work together to get the answers correct, and those answers are saved on a database, and then we can give them other responses. So we can use that for a murder mystery. We can use that same system, because the system that was before, the Sleutel system, and the system that we were using in that video before, no longer exists. There's no support for it. So I had to build my own. And that's really been a really big hurdle for us in the virtual worlds, is that, you know, developers come and go, and you can't trust that you're going to spend all this money on a developer to make a system. It's gone after a year or two, over and over and over again. It's gone. You just can't trust that you can develop anything over 3 years. That's it.
Even Google. I noticed that iGoogle is disappearing in November. So first reader, now try to follow feeds. Right. You can add them to iGoogle, but it's a notice there. It says it's gone. So, yeah. And then what was the one that they did? The Lively? Lively? They had a sim. Remember that one?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought that was that was a good move for them. But they, you know, they don't get a lot of response. If you don't get a lot of response quickly for businesses, they end up failing. But if you have some support, if you have financial support, like Cloud Party is quite active, and that's a very small team, but they seem to have a lot of passion, and they can do it on their own. They don't require big funding to do that. But whereas Blue Mars, with millions of dollars, sitting in Hawaii, which was the stupidest thing ever, they weren't able to afford to bring programmers over to Hawaii to keep the whole thing going.
Why did they have to bring them to Hawaii? Up?
I don't know. That didn't make any sense to me.
I never heard of them. Who is that? Blue Mars.
Blue Mars? Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. They were a big competitor at the time for Unity-based virtual worlds.
Okay.
Right?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I've been playing with Trace Effects. Are you familiar with Trace Effects? It's a Unity-based virtual world. Maybe Claire knows about it. Maybe Jose Antonio, I don't know. But you have an avatar called Trace, and you're teleported, or you're time-traveled to the present, and you have to find you have to return to the future. And anyway, you just go around the virtual world. But it's, I think, a good introduction. It's very similar to Second Life, except, well, the avatars don't move around because you're not actually in a multi-user space, but you get your avatar does move as it does in Second Life. You can jump, things like that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Just like you can in Cyprus.
Tracers is the name of the
Trace
company
Effects.
Or the Trace Effects? Is that the name of the company or the name of the actual website?
That's the name of the game. And actually, Jose Antonio is saying that it's from the U.S. State Department. If you Google Trace Effects, Claire has put the URL in there. So, it's just a kind of introduction to virtual worlds, an easy introduction, and not as exciting as Second Life if you're looking for, you know, actual people and things like that. And, but as Jose says, it's interesting. Maybe you'd like to add something, Jose, if you've played the game with students.
Yes, I did, actually, because the U.S. Department of State, they have this program called, it's a micro-scholarship program called English Access, and they have it all over the world. And Trace Effects was a game that they created to help out the students. It's like It's a very for students for like the second semester of studying English. They can join and play the game, and they can, like Vance says, you can travel in time, and you can go to that. There is geography. There are lots of subjects being explored there. I demonstrated it for my students. I played with some students, but now I have very basic students. I'm not using it, but it's really interesting.
Yeah, kind of not exactly what Cyprus does, where you know, there's no program. You just go to a virtual world and you meet other people there, which is it's just a trace effects of move because of the Unity browser. The movement is similar as in Second Life.
Yeah, one of the problems we have is moving our community to any other virtual world platform is quite difficult. We have about 1,000 members, and they're quite happy with what we do. We have members from about 50 different countries, and they don't want to move from Second Life because there's so much that Second Life offers for all the different countries, different areas they can go, and their friends are there, and it's just a very well-established environment. And to move Cyprus from Second Life to OpenSim even is quite difficult because they always say to me, you know, well, how can I connect with my friends? And I say, well, are you coming to Cyprus? We have a lot of members who just come to Second Life just for Cyprus, and that's where they go. When they log in, they come to RSIM only, and they hang out there. So for those people, it's okay. But probably 65 or 70% of our members are, you know, outside, and, you know, they come in, and they're the ones that we're mostly concerned about moving to someplace else. I prefer OpenSim. There's a lot more that we can do nowadays in OpenSim. But it's going to be really hard for communities to move out of Second Life. We're really stuck. Really stuck. I don't know. We have plenty of money to move, but convincing them to do it, it's going to be that Linen Labs is going to have to be sold, and then we can move everybody over there.
Pretty much. Why would you? What advantages? I mean, why would you contemplate that? If you're successful in Second Life, what would you want from OpenSim that you can't do in Second Life?
Control.
Ah, okay. So because you'd have your server, your environment.
That's it. Absolute control over everything.
What problems are you having due to lack of control?
Well, we are not able to monitor the server. We're not able to set restarts when we want to set restarts, or upgrades when we want to set upgrades. We have a big problem with the restarts happening right in our evening time in Japan on Wednesdays and Tuesdays. That's a huge problem for us. Another thing is griefers. We only own a parcel. We find it very financially difficult for us to own a whole sim. There's no reason. It's better to have a small place rather than a huge place, we found over the years. So we're very happy on our small parcel, but we don't have estate manager controls in the sim. Basically just, the people, controlling the people who come and the server functions, and that's really it. It's just cumbersome, the finance, why they charge so much. It's just $300 a month? Really?
And that's for your own property, but you've got a parcel. Where are you using Edunation, or are you using one of?
No, we just rent from one of the property major property places, just like anybody.
So do you have regular meetings there? You said you mentioned a regular time.
Yeah, we started this in Japan, and most of the people who are the founding members are all still, five founding members that started this are still with us after 5 years, and We have about 10 or 11 or 12 officers that meet regularly. And we have our own Mile High Club, and we meet there and discuss things and make decisions on things. And then we have the calendar that has activities every day except Saturday. We've set aside Saturday for special events. But we have just a couple of activities around every evening. But mostly people come there to chat and hang out. They play a lot of games. We have impromptu events that happen. You know, stuff you hear about everywhere in Second Life. But in our community, the one thing that's different is that, if you excuse me just a second. In our community, what's different is that we have a mission and four principles that we're very strict about. And we share, respect, respond, and be active are our four principles. And so if our members don't respect each other, we don't talk about politics, religion, sex, or anything related that is offensive in any way to any culture. And we're very, very strict about that. So the one reason they like to come to Cyprus is that it is a nice environment and it's low anxiety, and they know that someone's going to be there and police the area, and we have some very strong police officers, so we do ban people quite often.
Okay, I just let's see if I can get this. I just brought up your calendar. Okay, it's a Google calendar. Mm-hmm. And since you just mentioned it, I got to it by clicking on calendar here. So there's calendar. Let's see if I can interpret. This September is obviously there, September, and so so can anybody come to these? If people in this chat or people who watch this podcast, they can
listen
to
it. Oh, anytime. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And let's see, you said Saturdays for special events. I don't see any special events.
Right. Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay. What's a good one? What would people, if we were to go there, what, like Claire, for example, she's teaching and she's actually working in India with the ELF program, English Language Fellows program, and Jose Antonio is working at the Binational Center in Brasilia. Thomas Jefferson Binational Center. And so if he were to bring his... I suppose students are welcome as long as they follow the principles. And what would be a good introduction for them, do you think?
Well, I should probably point out one of the reasons you saw in the conversation I had with you is that I wasn't really looking to present Cyprus, because I'm not presenting to the education field anymore. The problem with that is that people do bring in their entire class to Cyprus, and it ruins our environment, because we're not looking to, offer an environment for teachers to bring their students and utilize us as volunteers who come there to actually, experiment with teaching. We're not there to teach. We're there to experiment and have fun and enjoy English and practice. So if teachers tell their students, hey, everybody, go there, you can practice your English, it's like kind of like we're babysitters. So that's why I've stopped doing any presentation. I don't present in real life or online, no more. It's just... So please don't write about it and advertise. But you can, I say to the people who are watching, I hope that more communities like this will start. So I hope that teachers will take this concept and they'll start their own communities in Second Life. And that's why I wanted to come here and talk to you experts in the field of technology and education and language learning. And why do you think in virtual worlds there are not more communities? Why aren't schools setting up these type of community environments for learning? Shouldn't every school have a place where students can come and talk to the world about the same topic that they're learning in their schools, whether they are a business student or a nursing student or a chemistry student? Shouldn't they have that ability? I don't see it. I don't hear about it in the English field, nor do I hear about it in any other field. Don't see the calendars
Minecraft,
popping up everywhere.
Minecraft is very popular as a place that people go where they have control because they can set up their own servers. They have to buy they have to pay for it. But that seems. I mean, I'm just aware that there's a lot of activity going on with Minecraft, and we had actually got mentioned at a chat a couple of weeks ago. There's a lady. Marijana Smolcek, who from Croatia, who is her son is so into it that she's actually a link with our community now, that I would like to pursue. But anyway, I want to welcome Rob too. Rob always has interesting things to say. Hi, Rob.
I enjoyed your Google Gemma. I looked that up, by the way.
The Gemba.
That was interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. So, well, you mentioned that you were working with Fire Centaur and Kip Yellowjacket, and so, but they're sort of inviting as many people as they can, especially Kip, I suppose, to come. Yes. You know, he set up this. I haven't really checked in on his area, but I'm getting Vertlantis, isn't that his?
That's right. We're the only two language learning communities. Yeah, we're it.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Mm-hmm. Well, we
both started at English Village in 2006. Around 2006, Fire Centaur started English Village. And Kip started with him soon after, offering teacher resources. He was more interested in helping teachers set up their own launch rooms so mm-hmm. that they could have their classes there. And then he went on to do more teacher resource opportunities for teachers and that. And I came in after him. This is what's amazing. I just walked into English Village, and I thought, oh, this is a really interesting place. I was a teacher at the time, and I thought, oh, this is really interesting. Gee, I wonder if I could, like, offer some English lessons here. Oh, that would be really fun. And then all of a sudden, Fire Centaur just landed in front of me, and I said, oh, wow, you're the owner of this place. Isn't that interesting? You know, I'm thinking about maybe I can offer some lessons here. This would be kind of fun to try out teaching in a virtual world. And he said, oh, great. Well, why don't you have this little parcel over here? Try it out. Okay, great. Thank you very much. And I went over and I started teaching and I started inviting people and it just happened. But nobody has ever approached me this similar way. Just like, hey, I want to do it. How do I do it? I don't know. You know. And so I left English Village because my group was growing there and so I started my own group and Kip was doing teachers and he changed to doing other languages except for English. He just did all languages. And so we're doing the same similar thing with the very similar ways of thinking that it's not about the money, it's not about, you know, anything but helping. I did apply for 3 years for a grant here from the Japanese government. 3 years I applied for $150,000 two years and made runner-up, and then the third year I lowered it to $50,000 and I made runner-up again last year, and so I've given up on funding the project, but it will never stop because the donations that we get from our members are, like, for the next 2 years we have enough money, so
that's cool.
Yeah, it's...
I suppose if in my case, the reason I don't do what you are doing is because in my teaching world, I don't really have an opportunity. The students I teach for some time haven't really been able to, you know, it's in the United Arab Emirates, so before I'm teaching military students now, so they can't really They'd just gotten laptops, though. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe I could engage them in Second Life. Anyway, I'll give that some thought. Because it's been done in the UAE. They had a women's college in Dubai actually set themselves up.
Very, very popular. Yeah, they're very, very, very much involved in Second Life.
Yeah, I could.
They come to Cyprus. There's quite a few of them that come to Cyprus. Yeah.
Who's that? Who comes to Cyprus?
I don't know names. I'm really not into names.
But I mean, do you
I meet them and then I talk to them and then they are. Oh, yeah,
well, define they. Who is they?
Well, from Dubai University, from Women's Dubai University. Uh-huh. They've brought in their students. They've done tours and.
Yeah, they had their own space, their own city. They replicated Dubai. They had Abra rides, and Claire knows what that is. Those little boats that go across the Dubai Creek. So yeah, and that was a really neat project, especially because it was at the women's college, and apparently the women had clothes depending on who they were interacting with. If they were, you know, they could put on abayas and interact. If they needed to, or if they felt they needed to, so they had they sort of brought their culture in an interesting way into the Second Life. But they also encouraged. It must have been, it had to be encouraged for anybody to do it. So I thought that was just really cool. But I think the people who did that have left. But they left. They wrote it up. You know, they. But I don't know if they have such a project on right now. I kind of doubt it, or I would have heard about it. But I'm not really aware of anybody who is doing much in the UAE in Second Life. I would think that the people in Brasilia would just love to do that. And Jose is the kind of person who would, and Carla Arena, who works with him, would be a natural. Why don't you guys do something like that there, Jose?
Well, I was just writing on the chat room. I found Second Life very difficult. I think the learning curve is very steep. You know, when it started back in like 2006, I was very interested, and I actually joined the Keep Bowen group, and I spent some time there, but I found it very difficult to navigate. And I think Carla has the same idea. You know, I think it was at that time, I mean, you had to download, and it was very heavy into your system. And I think Carla has the same opinion. I think that was one reason that why we didn't venture there, because I found it very difficult to create objects. You know, I tried, but I think it's not really my cup of tea, you know?
Yeah, well, gosh, maybe we should do something about this. You know, we've got people who would probably, maybe we should think about it a little bit more, what Mike is suggesting.
It's not about it's not about creating the environment. It's about managing the community.
Mm.
Yeah.
The whole creating thing is not a problem. And nowadays, any PC pretty much sold this today can run Second Life. I can run Second Life with the latest viewer on my netbook that I bought 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. I just last week I downloaded the latest viewer and it runs mm-hmm. with voice.
So what things do you need money for? I mean, you're renting your land. You said that someone is charging $300 a month. Is that what you pay for your parcel, or is it that's what the space costs?
In Second Life, if you want a private island, it costs about $5,000 for the first year.
Hmm.
Basically, $4,600 or so. It's $1,000 to pay for the first initial cost to get your paperwork or whatever. And then it's $300 a month. That's $3,600 a year plus $1,000. That's $4,600 for the first year.
Mm-hmm.
So it's $300 a month for your tier fees every month. We pay $120 a month for about a quarter sim or a little more than a quarter sim. $120 US dollars a month, and that gives us about 3,000 prims, and we can have as many avatars as we want. We have no lag. It runs very smoothly, and we don't have any trouble with it. So you really don't need a whole sim. We've had homesteads in the past. We've had full sims, used full sims before, but they're just too big. People, you know, they don't like to be scattered. They prefer to be in a very closed environment, you know, something that they can see people everywhere around them. And so I think we found the parcel size that works the best.
Mm-hmm. We could use a space like EduNation temporarily anyway. I mean, that's my home. So when they had a Webheads room there, in fact, I made it they had a Webheads headquarters. Graham Stanley was. Do you know Graham, by the way?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, so he was quite interested in facilitating any activity we wanted to do there. And Heike, of course, is Heike Philp is very supportive of what we do. We kind of support each other, I suppose, in our various endeavors. And so, you know, that would be a space I would think we could use, you know, if we wanted to just play with a space and then think about renting something if it came to that, you know. But I would think that would be a kind of a sandbox. It could be a sandbox.
It takes commitment, though. It takes commitment. Mm-hmm. It doesn't take a 3-year research project and a little bit of money to. Don't do it that way. I see so many professors and schools and people come in and they're going to do their research. They're going to write up a paper and do a conference, and they blow it up and they advertise, and we're going to do a conference here and a conference there. It doesn't work. That doesn't work. That doesn't help anything. It just leaves the learners, the people who actually want to come there, and they invest their time with you for 3 years. They invest their time. They change their schedules, their lives to be with you. And then, I'm not saying you, Vance, I'm just saying to the person, to the people who start these things, and then they know after 3 years they're going to be gone. For 3 years, they invest their time and change their lives to come there. And then after that, these people suddenly say, oh, sorry, we're no longer going to be doing this. And it gives a bad name. It gives a bad name to the whole using virtual worlds for language learning, because we have too many teachers that are just coming in for a little while and then they're gone. So really there needs to be a community set up by university who are going to be there forever. The university needs to get involved, and they need to support it and keep it going for a very long time. Or schools, high schools, junior high schools, any school, and support it for a very long time. It takes a long time to develop something like this.
Are you supported by your university?
No support whatsoever. Nothing.
Well,
zero.
I'm thinking of you as a model. I mean, you're modeling a way to do it that isn't what you just described. You just appeared in at English Village and said, hey, I'd like to do this, and you got a chance and you did it. So, you know, I mean, we could do the same. As far as a commitment from the outset, you don't really know where your passion is going to take you. Actually, when I was thinking about Sir Ken Robinson's book, The Element, as I was listening to you talk about at the SL Languages Conference 2011, which I've got linked at the URL I was showing you earlier. So you were just saying that you do it because you like to do it, because you feel. Oh, you were talking at the beginning about how you would really like to do that. You'd like to do that as your thing, as your
full time.
You know, yeah, exactly. So that's your element. That's what the element is about. And but you don't really know what your element is when you're standing there in English Village looking around, you know.
Just,
hey, this is cool. Yeah, yeah. But no, English Village. I'm talking about English Village when you got started.
Oh, so, when I got started, yeah.
Yeah, so you don't know when you start something like that how committed you're going to be to it. So so if you're waiting for funding from a university, that's
right.
Kind of hard. Yeah,
that's right. So you really do need to, like, if anyone is listening or watching this, here's my passion as a teacher. I wanted to practice teaching. I was an English teacher, but I wasn't experienced enough at that time. When I came to Japan, I had never had grammar lessons. I mean, really, I didn't go to college to become an English teacher. I went to college to become an elementary school teacher, actually. Mm-hmm. And then eventually I became a web designer and finished my degrees in e-business. My undergraduate was in e-business and my master's in education and technology. So English was something that I just, you know, knew how to do and I could make money from in Japan. But I never felt that I was ever a credible English professor working at universities, right? And so I needed a way to practice teaching grammar and all the different facets of grammar. And this was the way that I felt was best for me. So I think really if you just find as a teacher an ability to be able to practice what you teach to your students all the time and be able to teach it better and experiment with it in a virtual world, in response you're going to get a lot of people who want to join you and learn from you also. And you'll become better and more people will come and pretty soon you have a community.
Yeah. That's. I mean, Webheads, for example, started in 1998, and we have no idea what if the community is. I wouldn't say driven in the right way, but I would say if it's.
Boy, Webheads. I've been a member of Webheads for so long. You don't know me, but I've been following you for many years. I'm a little silent guy in the back is going, oh yeah, that's a good thing.
Cool.
Yeah, I'm gonna use that. That's a good idea. Yeah.
All right. So well, yeah. I mean, we it's really great to connect in this way. I mean, you know, obviously we've been missing our opportunity to learn more from you all along, but because of the way the community is and it persists, you know, we eventually hook up and get ideas from each other. You know, that's the really cool thing about
it. Yeah, I haven't been vocal because I'm not confident in that side. Like I said, I used it as a practice community, right? It wasn't something that I wanted to pursue as a lifestyle or, you know, a job, or it's just a hobby, just a, you know, the place I go to have fun or enjoy, so.
But I would imagine you use Second Life a lot in your teaching. I mean, your classes, you must have the students. When you teach your classes, do your students typically bring computers or devices and meet in your space during class, or is it just something?
Yeah, that's interesting. Mm-hmm. Yeah, my students don't come to Second Life. My attitude or my outlook on introducing technology to my students is basically, if you want it, it's there. I don't push my students to go and use the technology as part of their grade. I give it as extra credit, which means nobody really does it because you know, I offer 5% extra credit to my students, but most of them, 99% of them, and I have 300 students, they don't go. I even teach an interactive web class where I do a lecture one day on Second Life itself. And they actually join Cloud Party and Facebook, and we go into Second Life, but they don't continue to use it. And that's mainly because it's scary for them. I hear that quite often. They are scared when they put the headset on and then they say something to somebody and they return and say hello. It freaks them out.
Okay. Well, you had people at your presentation, at your SL Languages presentation, you had people from the community who were talking about their experiences there. And of course, as I said, I just went there before now. There are people there who seem to be learning a lot from it. So that little 1% that you've got that actually goes there is benefiting quite a lot.
Oh, yeah.
I think I need to be quiet for a while. Rob wants to talk to you. He's just asked a question. He wants to know if you use Second Life from an iPad or might even add mobile device. What do you have to say to that? You see, have you got your text chat open?
Yeah, I was just going to try it. So, am I on here? Mm-hmm. I haven't tried it from an iPad. And the last time I used Second Life, it was so slow and cumbersome that I think all I did was float into the sky and and then got lost.
I'm going to log in on my Galaxy Note here, okay? I'm going to log in on my Note, all right? So you log in on your iPad, I'll log in on my Note, and we'll see how long it takes.
I got to find the app first.
My battery's dead. You like that? Okay. That's so funny. Murphy's Law, isn't it?
It is.
Murphy's Law. I had 1% on my battery, so let's see if I can log into Second Life with my phone charging at 1%. Oh, that'll be funny. That'll be funny. Let's see. That's hilarious. Okay, so there's an application on Android called Lumia, which costs about $3. It starts down with a login screen, and I sign in. Just to sign in, and this is how long it takes. I'm logging in now.
This is logging into Second Life through Lumia.
Yeah, through Lumia on my Galaxy Note 2, and the list right there is all my friends. The friends are loading that are online right now. Okay. And if I press this little button down here, this little eyeball thing, that's me in Second Life.
All right. Cool.
I'm in my little pilot suit. I went flying yesterday. So if I drag my finger, you can see that I'm actually...
I couldn't find an app on the iPad, but I'm going to try my hand.
There I am in my office.
Lumia has an iPad or an iPhone app. Okay.
You can actually edit objects with this program now, and you can chat in your inventory, change parcel settings, and I think you can do parcel settings. Anyway, that's how fast you can log into Second Life nowadays on your phone. So there's really no excuse these days for logging into Second Life. Voice is the trouble, though. Voice is the problem.
I was, in my brief encounter with the people who were in Second Life, they were using voice, and unfortunately I wasn't able to, but they didn't mind text chatting with me, it seems. I had a couple of people we're using text. Do they pretty much predominantly use voice there? I know that's one of the advantages, of course. One of the things you want to be able to speak to people. That's the thing you're trying to over. That's why you're using Second Life. But do you find that people
right voices? Voice is most common amongst the people who play role play games. Most people though use text in Second Life. Predominantly, but we find that there is a very, very large community of language learners in Second Life. Very large. It's extremely attractive to learners. Over the years, it hasn't decreased. It has not decreased. It has increased. There are more language learners in Second Life, I think, than there are other people who join Second Life. There are more people coming to learn languages in Second Life because of communities such as Cypress Chat and Vertlantis and these schools that are around. They're finding it much more interesting because Skype, you can only talk to, like us right now, you know, one-to-one on a video. Hangouts are a little bit different. Skype conferencing, they have that also, but you have to pay for it. Skype way, you're only on one-to-one talking, really. One person talks to the other. You can't talk all together, and you can't hear people far away from you talking too. Whereas in a virtual world, you have this surround sound, this 3D sound. You can hear people talking 20 meters away, and you can choose to join their conversation or not, which makes it much more realistic. When we have lessons, we have like 10 or 20 people sitting there in our chat ring and having a lesson. The people can teleport into the welcome area, and they can stand there, and they can listen for a while and choose whether they'd rather join, choose whether to join or not. Now, if it's too difficult for them, or the conversation's too difficult, or whatever, and then they can just easily teleport out. Whereas in Skype or a Hangout, you click that join button, boom, you're there. Hi, you know, welcome. You know, and so they're very scared to join conversations like this. Whereas Second Life, it's much easier to join in.
So what have you discovered, Rob? Are you on your iPad?
No, I wasn't able to when I tried that. I got the app on my Android, the one you were talking about. I didn't pay for it yet. And then I still can't find anything on my iPad for Second Life. So I haven't found it yet. And should I be putting in certain words?
I don't know. I don't know Macintosh. They're another world for me, so
yeah.
Good luck to them.
And then you yeah. So I don't know. And the reason I was interested in that is because when I'm either in a classroom or in the Gemba, I like to hand out my iPad and say, here, do it, you know, and show me. And then they can actually, you know, do things on the screen and it shows up and in the classroom, you know, so or in the when I'm out on a factory floor. So, and then you were mentioning like Skype and these alternatives, and some of the people that are really really good with Hangouts, like Mike Downs and Sarah Hill and those people, they're going with this Zoom thing, which is pretty cool. A little bit more advanced than Hangouts. Got a few more features, and the video is really good. So I just kind of brought that up too.
I'm curious. I mean, the reason I wanted to come here was to ask you guys. You're around technology, and am I to assume everyone here are language teachers? Is that right?
Yes, that's right.
Not me.
Okay.
I am.
I'm not a language teacher.
Okay.
I work with internet. I teach business topics to international students, things like global logistics and international supply chains and international trade. But I don't, and they're visiting students.
And I live in technology, as far as virtual worlds go, if we were to limit our conversation to virtual worlds, not language learning specifically, but using virtual worlds to teach as a tool, not as the main classroom, as a tool, virtual worlds, are they beneficial? Would you say they're beneficial, or everyone?
The ones that I've seen that are beneficial, well, they're just kind of cool, are the training for oil rig disasters, I think, put on by the Australian government. It's training, like, how do you evacuate an oil platform and follow the procedure. So I've seen, you know, kind of an interesting type of a use of. And other than that, I just haven't explored it that much.
Boy, there's so much. I used to, when Second Life, well, when Jeff LeBeau was getting into it, he kind of introduced me to Second Life, and the community was teachers and various technology specialists, so we were sort of exploring all the things you could do in Second Life, or all the things that people were doing. I think I even wrote an article at the time. Language Lab had just been started because that was part of the article. And I think I probably had Kip in there and Paul Friedrich, Fire Centaur. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And in any event, yeah, there's quite a lot that that people are doing, but you know, the question that Mike is asking is why isn't it really taking off for language learners, or if it is, why haven't we heard more about it? Because it could be that there are some pockets there that are doing things that we're not aware of. I know David Wynette, for example, was taking his students to Second Life for a while. Well, Gavin Dudney, for example, and Heike, who's doing the Gavin started the SL Languages Conference, which they have, you know, the presentation after presentation about what people are doing with language learning in Second Life. Some of the things that Sadler, what's his first name? Heike's collaborator. Anyway, he's can't even remember his pseudonym, but he's got he's teaching French and doing that in very interesting ways in Second Life. So there's a lot of activity going on, you know, for people's classes and things like that that may not necessarily be encouraging other communities to join. Although Professor Sadler, you know, he's set up some holodecks in EduNation. One holodeck, for example, opens up. You're standing on a spot. You get the right holodeck going, and you've got a clothing store, a department store, basically. You can go wander around it and pick things off the shelves. Interesting for a holodeck. You can restore your campfire. It's quite an experience. But so these people are interacting, and even the SL Languages Conference is coming up. It's postponed to next year, I believe. I've got it listed in Learning Together. I don't remember the date off the top of my head. But that's always, you know, just an orgy of language applications in Second Life. So there's a lot going on, but the kinds of things that you're talking about, just starting communities there, that's what you're talking about. That's what's rare.
Yeah, there are quite a few individuals who are teaching for a limited amount of time, who do their conferences and papers and write. They do their research, they bring in their students, and they're in there for about 6 months or a year, and then they go off and do their something else, so something else comes up or whatever. But we're not seeing long-term involvement in using virtual worlds for language learning. A lot of experimentation, but nothing long-term. And that's where I'm really wanting to find why isn't there long-term usage of all the knowledge we have of how to do this? Instead, it's kind of like, oh, you know, we do it so that we can write a paper that I can put in my resume, you know, or I've got to show my department heads that I'm actually doing research or something. I don't know.
And then there are people like Gavin Dudney, who you know, was very committed to the Second Life and probably still works in Second Life because he has skills. You know, I'm sure he uses that as part of his income. But he just kind of at one point said, no, it's not working.
That's right. That's right.
Why?
Pulled
why
out.
Did he do that?
Do you know There's why? No money in it. There's no money. There's no money. You can't support the islands. You can't support what you're doing. There's no purpose for what you do. It doesn't benefit you in any way. It doesn't give you anything personally or for your career or for your life. It just takes time out of your day. That's it. So you pull out. It's completely natural. I understand that point. But there needs to be something else that will pull an entire school into this environment, that the school commits to it, that the city commits to it, like Texas A&M or Texas University, you know, whole states, whole schools that commit to it, and they do it not just for a year or 2 years or whatever. They're in it for the long haul. Texas, the state of Texas, they're not going away. I mean, if they pull out of Second Life, they're going to move it to OpenSim. They've trained too many teachers. There are too many students who know how to use it. There are too many junior colleges and other training programs in Texas that are using the system. And It's there. It's not going away. And this is what more districts need to do.
Oh, darn. I was going to respond to this to Dan here. He was just writing us in the chat. I'm not quite sure what...
I'm sorry, I'm not reading the chat. I should probably... he's way over on my screen over there.
He said the show is on the Hangout Snitch. Dan would have been welcome. I was just about to respond to him. But anyway, he was... In case he listens later... he would have been welcome to participate if he wanted to. I think what he means is that we put the Hangout on, and anybody in the any community can join it. You know, if they find Hangouts that are happening right now, they can join in. So didn't mean to exclude anybody, but in any event, that's next time. I'm not sure. We're all trying to learn. He says he's trying to figure out why it would have been out there, and we're trying to figure out why and how as well. You know, what do we have to do in order to control our Hangouts? Is it necessary? Dan seems like he had reasonable things. He's not a griefer, so you know, it's not a. I'm talking about Dan Geister, not Dan Bassel. Okay, well, I'm going to probably want to get on to dinner soon, but I'd like to, maybe if you've got time, Mike, we could stay on for another 10 minutes or so and find out if anybody else has things to add or questions to ask. I'm not sure what's happening with Claire.
I'm curious what others think, but maybe we can do this another time. I'd like to join your conversation about other things that people are doing and listen and try to... incorporate whatever everybody else is doing into my thinking. That's what I was interested in last week with the Gemba. You know, he was using, you know, this kind of using technology in the classroom is something that, of course, my background of education and technology, I'm quite interested in, and that's what brought me to your Hangout. I'm sorry if I took up everyone's time for discussion about other types of technology
and we thrive on finding someone who's knowledgeable and entertains us with you know, extended discourse. So we appreciate that.
Could I ask a question? Mike, this is Dan Bassel from Chicago, I'm impressed with the way your community has grown and your rules about respect and respond and no religion, no politics and stuff like that. Do you see a parallel process of students involved in service learning or community problem solving where students might be engaged with an environmental problem, a global problem, a poverty problem, but where there's a focus to the group coming together where they're trying to learn about a problem that is important someplace. And as they learn about it, then they're being taught to take a role in trying to solve that problem. I think there's a parallel, but I don't know that I find many virtual or online communities where people are engaging young people in that process. Do you have any experience with that, or do you see any of that in...
Absolutely, absolutely. The problem that we have in language learning is that we have to create a low anxiety environment, and in order to do that, we have to create rules in the classroom, classroom management, basic classroom management for the class. Each person in the room is a team member, and that mistakes are okay, and that we help each other, and we do exercises in the classroom where we stand up and they shake hands, and then they might even, you know, put a hand on a shoulder, whatever, make a mistake, respond to that mistake. Things that they do that are out of their norm with a person that they don't know. It creates an environment that they trust each other. And so if you respect each other, then the next thing is that you have to respond. So one person would make a mistake, the other person has to respond to that. If they don't respond, I'm right there going, you didn't say anything. This is the same thing in the service industry or in any governmental agency where you have to have a problem-solving situation. You first have to bring everyone into the same frame of mind, in thinking on how to solve the problem. We don't have any opinions. We only are based on facts. We only go off facts. We don't bring our opinions, our cultures, our religious beliefs, our political systems. Nothing else enters into this conversation but the facts at hand. And that's how we solve the problem. So this is how I see the parallel between the language learning and the environmental agencies or whatever, these kind of problems that can be solved. Principles are extremely important, and the mission too.
Yeah, Claire is being very silent, but one thing she did say one time is that she liked WebEd's community because no one has an agenda, she said. You know, there's nobody who's trying to dominate the process with exactly the kind of thing that you mentioned, you know, the violating those principles. So I suppose that you would say that we have common principles in this regard, and the people who are in the WebEds and in your community obviously have a common mindset as well. And Jose Antonio has to leave, so must be time for breakfast there in Brazil. And Shirley, nice that you could come. We really appreciate your coming. And by the way, just a shout out to EVO, Electronic Village Online. Jose Antonio is one of the coordinators, and as am I. So there's going to be more exploration. I think Heike's put in a proposal. Anyway, that's Electronic Village Online, evosessions.pbworks.com, is coming up in January. So,
thanks, Vance, very much for inviting me here today, and I hope to join and hear more about what everyone's doing and join in the conversation.
You're so welcome. We podcast everything. It's at learningtogether.net, and you can get the recordings going back to 2010. So we've been meeting about once a week, and lots of interesting recordings there. Anyhow, and lots of nice events coming up. Actually, speaking of Brasilia, Carla Arena is our next guest on next week, a week from today. She's going to be talking about her World Call experiences. And I believe Claire was in World Call as well. And actually, I think Carla would love to have Claire join her. Claire! She seems to have frozen there.
Again.
Well, anyway, okay. Well, it looks like it's kind of down to the two of us, so
all right.
We've managed to bore everybody. I didn't say that. No, Claire is back. She's there. I think she's having mic problems. Yeah. Well, thanks a lot. Not you,
hey, thanks,
mic Vance. Problems,
thank
but
you.
I mean, this kind of mic problem, yeah.
Great, okay. Thanks. Okay, we'll be in touch again.
All right. Thanks, Mike. Really appreciate you popping by. And yeah, okay. So long.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, ending Learning Together for September 29th, 2013. And we've been talking with Mike McKay, also known as Professor Merriman. And this is Vance Stevens and Aline UAE saying good night. Sayonara. Bye-bye.